Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Boys, you gotta have to forgive me. This darn dirty rat chewed up one of my guys and spit him out. So on behalf of the Godfather of Nintendo, I've been ordered to take this dirty rat and send him to the fishes. Capiche?
Well, you gotta listen to me, okay? This is not how we do things in the family, okay? I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse. And only if he does not accept this offer will you do that action that you are claiming. But you must respect the family first, okay?
This dirty rat deserves to be sleeping with the fishes.
You dirty rat. No,
this
dirty
was
rat.
One of the saddest things I've seen on the internet in a long time. Will, sure. Feel free to elaborate to the crowd what we're discussing here.
Yeah.
If you have not seen my Twitter account, a literal rat in my house has chewed up my pro controller. Literally the control stick, on the left control stick. So if you have not seen the damage, it is more or less totaled, if anything else. So that's what I mean by a little dirty rat. So I've been doing everything, placing mouse traps, glue traps, everything, and it has avoided me since. Still has not. It still haunts me. He haunts me, boys. He haunts me. So thankfully, I got a silicone cover to help with the stick, so it looks like a brand new control stick. But still, that rat, that darn dirty rat.
No, I actually
you gotta put that in a glass case.
For you. Like, I had a friend, she lives in New York, and she had a rat problem, too. Now, she wasn't a gamer, but, you know, she would hear the rats squeaking at night, right? And the landlord was terrible, he wouldn't do anything, and finally she moved out, and it was, like, the happiest day of her life, because she doesn't have any of those dang rats. And then when I saw your tweet about the rat in your controller, that's all I could think of. I was like, oh my gosh, there's someone else in New York suffering from a rat problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, thankfully it didn't go to my Xenoblade Chronicles 2 limited edition controller. That would have been a nightmare.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. And not in a rat-infested mood is Tellius Tyler.
I forgot that I hadn't been introduced yet. I'm here.
Yes, you are. All right, well, if you did not listen to last week's episode, shame. Shame on you. We broke down everything about the Nintendo Direct featuring Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. You even had Andross Alex back after a very long hiatus, but it won't be a long hiatus until his next appearance. Hopefully.
Yay!
Yeah, hopefully. You know, time allowing and all that. But we got a lot of news and stuff to talk about today, so let's get started off with what have you been playing? I'm going to go first because I don't have much to say because even though I was so excited for my gaming experiences last weekend, it didn't happen the way I thought it would. And so basically I've been playing as Heroes and before I get into that, I'm going to talk about Heroes for a sec. You know, I'm doing the Tempest Trials, you know, I'm almost at 300 orbs, right?
Damn you!
I know. But you know, these daily banners are both the greatest and worst thing to happen to me because on one hand I see like Ephraim like twice, right?
Oh.
And just regular Ephraim, and I have horseback Ephraim, but that's not the same. And I want Ephraim, and I'm like, I'm tempted to go for it, but it's only 3%, and you know,
I
know there's the big banners coming up and everything, so I'm trying to, you know, save my orbs. But I still do the free orbs because, you know, you never know who you're gonna get.
Right.
I do one pull. And it's a Tharja banner, right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm totally going to get Tharja. And so sure enough, I set the banner. There's one red orb. I'm like, watch me get Tharja. And I do it. And there's Tharja.
Wow.
I've gotten at least five Tharjas. Five-star Tharjas.
Yeah, please, give them to me right now, please.
I would if I could. And then, like, my other five-star I got was a Hawkeye, which I technically didn't have a five-star of, I don't think. But it's just like... But then when I want to get, like, Ephraim or Eldegin, it's like, no, I don't get them. So I'm just like, whatever. So I'm just keeping going until the next big banner comes out. Then I'm going to, you know, waste all 300 orbs and not get anybody. And then you guys will mock me for not, you know, sacrificing to the gods. And I'm like...
No. It's a good way to play. And given this, like, recent banner as well, that the dancers... Oh man, I gotta say, like, Ryoma looks good. I really want to try to get
Forget Ryoma. Alencia looks good. She's beautiful in that outfit, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
oh, Makaya's there too, but we don't speak of her.
This banner was pretty good, I thought. I mean, the units are actually kind of trash, but the banner itself, they're just not super strong, but the outfits are really cool. I'm definitely a fan.
Again, the dancer outfits, yes, the dancers. Mm.
Yeah, I'm having such a hard time in the Tempest Trials because my team is one of my classic teams, which is Mikalis, you know, 40 plus, and then Alphonse, Shirena, and Tharja. And then sometimes I'll just get these situations where they're just not good against the units, which is something I've rarely had happen to me, but I use them because both Alphonse and Shirena have the, you know, the 20%, the 40% bonus or whatever. And I'm like, okay, use them, and, you know, I get through it, and I'm still way ahead of where I need to be to, you know, do the average, but, yeah, I want the next good banner. I don't want these daily banners. I want a good banner with new characters that aren't just rehashes, because I want, you know, the feel, the desire of, you know, getting a new unit again. But as we noted last week, Bandai Namco released a demo for Dragon Ball FighterZ on Switch.
Yep.
And we all got it. And I played all of an hour and a half of it because I did the wise thing. I logged in. I went straight to the training room, and I'm so glad I did. But then right at the end of training mode, it said, hey, are you having trouble making the hard moves? Why don't you go to simple mode and everything will be better? And I'm like, okay, what's the worst that could happen? Famous last words. So after all this training, I go into simple mode, and then I go into the battles, which I'll get to in a second, and I can't do anything. That simple mode totally screwed up my control scheme, and for whatever reason, I could not reverse it. And I know Will told me that there was like a simple way to do it. I could not find the simple way of doing it. And so I literally deleted the entire beta and my save data, which I didn't really care for. It was a beta in a fighting game. What are you going to do? And, you know, I downloaded it again, and then, like, my weekend got so busy, I barely got able to play it. And then by the time I did get free to play games, it was already gone. So, and because of this simple mode, my hype for the game is gone. I don't know if I'm going to get this game. Like, seriously.
I mean, please elaborate. So, how was that simple mode? What was it particular that, like, was really turned off? Is it, like, a one-button press only?
I don't know. It's just whatever, like, the original, okay? The original control screen, like, the one you go into before simple mode, I was fine with that. I was actually finding it quite intuitive. It reminded me a lot of Blaze Blue. Cross tag battle, obviously.
Right.
And I was fine with that. And I was like, okay, this is good. And then when I went to, you know, simple mode, it completely, the boost button was not on the right trigger. You know, the basic buttons were kind of there, but I couldn't do my combos. And I was just like, I couldn't control it. And because I couldn't reverse it, and I had to, like, re-download it, which, again, didn't work out for me because I didn't get to play it. It was just like my frustration was at an all-time high because BlazBlue didn't have this, and even though I had complaints about the BlazBlue control screen, as you recall, Will, it wasn't even close to this level. I mean, why would you have it to where you could customize your control scheme in the menu, just like BlazBlue, and yet that doesn't affect anything because you're still in simple mode? What's wrong with you people? And if there should be a button that says simple mode on or off, but no! You apparently had to go to some other stupid place in the arena to get a fix. Which brings me to my next point about the game. And so, Tyler, no, this isn't just about, you know, the control scheme, although that was what ruined my beta experience, I'll be honest. I don't like how the matches are set up.
Yeah, because, I hate that too.
Yeah, because
point.
In BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, as me and Will noted, there is a massive room. So just imagine it like a massive. Think of it like the global battle center in a Pokemon, right? You can go up to a trainer or a person, and you can battle them if they're willing and if you have the good internet connection and yada, yada, yada. In Dragon Ball, a person sets up a room, and you can go into that room, but that doesn't mean you're fighting that person right away. Instead, you have to, like, wait in a line. And so if you're, like, you know, timing it wrong, you're going to be, like, third or fourth in line in a battle that could take, you know, a decent amount of time. I ain't got that kind of time to wait. What's wrong
yeah,
with
that's
you?
Painfully stupid design. I don't understand that at all. What is wrong? Sorry, I'm choking because I'm so mad. What is wrong with letting you go into a bat, like, click find opponent, and then the internet finds you an opponent? Like, why can't that be a thing? I feel like that's the best way to get fights in a fighting game.
Yeah, and again, now, granted, granted, I know that this game came out before BlazBlue, but these are the same people that made BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. And that mode, that way of doing the fights, was so simple, so basic, and yet so intuitive that no one can screw this up. But then they do this for Dragon Ball, and it's just like, was this just an idea based on what happened here? I honestly don't know.
I can provide some clarity for that, because,
please?
Like, yeah, we're going to, because each avatar, each user in that specific room, 64 players or so, if I remember correctly, yes, you can basically set it as a ring match, so you can allow 8 players to come into your ring. But there's also that the center arena, which is basically, like, the main arena match hub. Basically, like, all these players can come, go to the middle, go set themselves into the middle arena, so they can play with everybody else. So, it's kind of a weird option, to say the least. Like, yeah, like, a single player can open us up, like, their own personal ring, and only allow 8 players to play, which, I guess if you want to go in personal, fine. But there's also that option to also play with the rest of them in the middle, in the center stage arena. So there is that option, but granted, it is kind of strange. Like even when I play with the PS4 version, like I don't think I ever even used the ring. I don't think there even was a ring option in the PS4 version in the first iterations. So I can't say, but I always like played it in the, like the center arena, or even like just had a search lobby for me. Like search option, like in BlazBlue Cross Tag, but just like put an entry, wait for an opponent, it pops up, and then yeah, that's I'm good with that.
Yeah,
so
it's just it's not intuitive, and for a game that's been praised for its, you know, simplicity and the battle system, which again, my time in the training mode, I felt, you know, intuitive. I felt, you know, easy enough. I mean, I honestly think BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle is a little bit better, but you know, maybe that's just me, but. You know, I can hear the fighters fans, how dare you insult fighters, what's wrong with you? Didn't you see the mastery of Evo? You know, but it's just like, comparing these two, and to be fair, I have, again, limited experience with both of these franchises as a whole. I've only played a few Dragon Ball games in my lifetime. You know, it just felt, it was so, you know, imbalanced in context of it. It was just like, what is going on? So I might still get it. It just depends. Again, then again, the week before DBZ is Torna, the Golden Country for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, that is my priority. And that is not being mean. That is, you know, I love Xenoblade, so
there's that.
But it's just like I had this weekend all planned out. I got my work done so that I could play this game. And then I get into the game. I'm like, okay, training mode. I did this for BlazBlue. We can do this again. And then I did simple mode. Screwed all of it. And it's just like crap. And so now I'm like, I'm all hyped out. So,
like from on my side, like it's. It's, I don't know, I for me, I definitely noticed, like, definitely the performance dips in the Switch version. Maybe it's my internet connection. There have been matches I actually have played with minor frame drops, so, like, 5 frames or so, even 3 frames, which it ran smoothly. But for me, I have played matches which is, like, really, like, buggy. Like, compared to, like, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, like, that thing, it smooth itself out eventually during the fight. While here in Dragon Ball, yeah, like, the IP had matches which is, like, it's really slow, honestly. Like, even with, like, if you're playing with 3 bars or even 5 bars, there'll be times where it just, like, I suddenly lose connection and it just, like, slows or even disconnects for my side. So,
to be honest, I only played, like, you know, 5 on live matches for throwing. I mean, carefully placing my Switch on the ground. I didn't throw my Switch on the ground. No, that's stupid. But I honestly didn't have any internet issues. So that was weird because I saw like all these articles about, you know, the server overload or whatever, and it was just like, wow, I'm actually lucky that didn't happen to me. But again, if I had played more matches, it might have.
I had internet
issues myself. I only jumped in for a little bit because I couldn't find the stupid training mode. Like, I just thought that they didn't even tell me where it was. They just threw me in, and I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to go, like, you know, figure out how to play. But I had no idea where, so I jumped into a lobby, waited for like 20 minutes to get to a match, lost. And then I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to play Xenoblade instead.
Well, hello, there is it's called a hub for a reason. Have you tried searching through the hub?
Yeah, I walked around, but I didn't see any, like, glaring training area. So
And there is a staircase. It's in the lower left corner.
But yes, how would we know
I
that?
I didn't like that. I mean, you're right. I could have searched harder and I would have eventually found it. But I don't understand why there's any searching needed. Like, what's wrong with the menu that has training mode on it? Like, it's so
like
much.
Blaze
to be fair, like, there is an option. You can actually can go, so, like, warp to that mode, to be fair.
But where, like, they did not give me any clue as to where that was. And that's all I'm saying. I think that it was a poorly put together demo. And I'm not surprised that it was, because it was a poorly put together demo for the other versions as well. So I'm not, I'm not saying
really?
This game's going to be bad. I'm still going to get it. Yeah, that was a huge story.
Back in the beginning, yes. Back with the PS4 version, yes.
Yeah, PS4 and Xbox, yes. It struggled a lot. So I'm not counting the game out yet. I'm still going to get it, and I'm probably going to like it a lot because I like fighting games. But
I mean,
I had the one match that I played. The internet was horrible on my Switch. Has always had a bad internet issue, so maybe I'll have to get to the bottom of that. But I'm still going to get this game despite the struggles. I'll wait though. You're right. I mean, I will be kind of cautious and wait to make sure that it plays how I hope it will.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the one thing I've noticed is like if you do get a good connection match and it runs smoothly, like it pretty much runs very well. If anything else, like I've been doing combos, the Ultra Meteor Smashes, Meteor Specials with Goku. If it works well, it can work well. Arc System definitely has to go and have to iron out some few kinks regarding to the Switch version, but overall, I feel there is potential. The demo doesn't really help it much, but for me, like, they just gotta have to iron out the kinks, if you ask me.
Which, again, is hilarious, because with the exception of me not being able to do my resonance finish in Blaze Blue, as you lovingly recall, Will, I can't do it, Will! Why won't it let me kill you? The Blaze Blue demo was great. I felt, very in tuned with it. I knew about, and switching characters. I mean, what was up with that? They had like pre-selected teams and everything. I'm like, why can't I select my own team? And so it was just so weird. And again, I was so hyped for this. I mean, I was finally going to be able to play fighters and everything. And it's just like, I'm drained of it now. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Also, just to clarify on that front as well, because like, yeah, there is like set teams, but you can also change those set teams to suit your needs. So like,
but
you see like team one, team two, team three. Yeah, those are just basically like the defaults. You can actually go into each separate team in case you want like so switch it out. Like for example,
but they didn't tell me how. And
right,
again, there,
I know
there...
that that's an option, but like, it's why? Right? How? Like, why can't I just have a blank slate and pick three characters? That's way easier. That's way
again,
more user-friendly.
And again, in Blaze Blue, they let you pick your team, and then you're stuck with that team, and then there's a clear menu. It says change team. There wasn't that in Dragon Ball, and I mean, I was looking through those menus because I was trying to find out how to turn off simple mode. Sorry, still mad. But yeah, like that was my weekend. So that's why, and I still haven't finished Octopath. I'm a horrible person. But then again, I was, my weeks have been busy recently. But
Right.
So aside from a Dragon Ball, what have you guys been playing?
For me, during this past weekend, I actually went to Play NYC with Clinton Bowman Navigator.
Yes.
And yeah, like for me, like I was in Hammerstein and basically played a whole lot of indie games regarding to like one game that's already currently out on Switch right now called Red Hot Ricochet, which is very good. I highly recommend it if you get a chance in the eShop. It's like $10, but it's a very simple concept. Red Hot Ricochet. Definitely check it out. Other games, I think also for the Switch. Yeah. I actually have got my hands on Killer Queen Black, which I actually have wrote an impressional piece in the Outer Haven website. And yeah, Killer Queen Black, it's fun. It's definitely fun. I can see why it was like ported from the arcade to the Nintendo Switch, which is, yeah, it can really get intense if you have like one, if you have enough people, 4-on-4 matches, like it can get real intense. The best I can really best describe Killer Queen Black is like, yeah, protect the queen, like do your own thing as if you're a drone, but also defend your queen at all costs. It's very hectic, but also very fun. That's all I can, the best I can describe it. But if you
just go check out Will's piece.
Yeah. Just basically, if you get a chance to like play Killer Queen Black like in an area near you and in a convention near you, definitely try it. I wholeheartedly recommend it, especially when you play against 4-on-4. And overall, everything else, funny enough, I actually have been playing a Facebook Cross Tag Battle, and I gotta say, I love Yuzuriha. I love her just because, like, one, she is a heavy hitter with her sword, or flash blade. Like, she can pretty much cover the entire stage. It's, like, very similar to Gordo, but she's just, like, a good complementary character with Yu Narukami. It's just, like, wow, she is good. So yeah, I've been playing Placer Cross Tag Battle and a little bit of Splatoon 2. Overall, yeah, that's what I've been playing, and again, trying to get this darn dirty rat.
Yeah.
I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 to yes. fulfill the prophecy of all my games I promised to beat but never beat or touched.
By the way, Will, have you beat Breath of the Wild yet? No.
He's working on it. He's working on it.
No, he's not. He just admitted he wasn't.
Yeah, but he's working on it. It's in his head. He's thinking it through.
I'm working on it.
He's working on it. But yeah, no, I like I said, I play the game for, I don't know, maybe 3 hours originally. So after not playing it for like 4 more months, I jump back in and just start it over.
Fair enough.
And yeah, but I'm trying to engross myself into the world this playthrough. So I was talking to all the NPCs and doing all the side quests on the big boat in the beginning. And I the plot kind of is more intriguing to me going through it a second time than it was the first time. Maybe I just wasn't in the mode to be engaged, but I'm definitely curious to see where it's all going to go. I'm still super early. Like I just found Gramps after that you get shot down. In the very beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
So very beginning.
Yeah. Very, very beginning. Yeah. You got a long way to go.
Yes. Yeah. I also played Mario Tennis Aces now that the patch is out. And I gotta say, the game is like really, really fun now. The internet stinks. Like the Nintendo's internet is brutal, and it's not just me, because this is a big topic on the Reddit forum. The connection to the matches, it's always low. Now it's not as bad as it looks. Like if you have a match with a 1 bar connection, the lag's not really that bad. It's like a weird thing, but it reads like it's really bad. But still, it's frustrating. You rarely have a match that you don't feel any slowdown on. But that said, the game is so much more balanced now. Now they nerfed Waluigi and Bowser Jr. Waluigi's still really good. Bowser Jr. is probably just average at this point. But it's a ton of fun. I cracked the top 100 in the US. I'm not in the top 100 in the US anymore. I lost a couple matches, but it was really exciting for a few minutes there.
Nice.
I used Daisy. I think she might be holding me back though. I played a game against a Bowser, and I was just like, I was knocking him around the course, but I could not score a stupid point no matter what I pulled, no matter how many times I changed my rhythm, no matter what shot I used. He could just barely get to it, and eventually he ended up breaking my spirit and beating me. I was so frustrated. But the game's a lot better now. It's actually a ton of fun to play online if you can get good internet connection to find some good matches. So I would highly recommend checking that game out if you put it down after a while, because it is a lot better now than it was upon release.
Have you updated your review yet?
I have not. I might do like an addendum to the review.
I agree. As you just to say, like, you know, one paragraph since, you know, whenever you reviewed it, you know, 2 months after it.
Funny enough as well, so since you mentioned Mario Tennis Aces, like apparently just this past weekend, there's actually happened a deal with that game as well, which we get to soon.
Yeah, it's there's going to be a special bundle for the Switch, and you can get the Switch, Mario Tennis Aces, and 1-2 Switch for $360.
Only at Walmart.
Only at Walmart. Shocking no one. But yeah, that honestly is a good deal though, because you're going to get, you know, a decent game. Would you say 4 out of 5 now, Tyler?
Yeah, I wouldn't say 4 out of 5. I would say 3.5 out of 5.
Isn't that where you're at right now?
No, I'm at 2.5 out of 5.
Wait, you put 2.5 out of 5 on your review?
Yep.
Dang, I thought it was 3.5. Whatever, but that's even fine. It's still 3.5 out of 5. A decent game, and it's getting better with each. You know.
Yeah, if you like competitive online multiplayer games now, instead of before I said, if you like Mario Tennis, you'll find some enjoyment in this game. But now I would say if you like online multiplayer games and you're looking for a way to kind of kill some time this summer, I'd recommend it.
So, but that is honestly a good that is a good demo. Or sorry, a good deal, because it's you're getting a system and 2 games for $360. So it's basically $300 for the console and then $30 for 2 games. So, you know, that's a pretty good deal. So, all right. Now last week, again, we focused mainly on the Smash Brothers Direct and some loose news, but this week has just been a bombardment of various news pieces. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Gentlemen, it has finally happened. After 18 years, Blizzard is back on a Nintendo platform. Now, yesterday at the time of this recording, a massive rumor was spreading around that Diablo 3, the Eternal Collection, was going to be coming out. But obviously, it was a rumor because Forbes, who released the article, took it back. How do you do that? How does Forbes take something down? I mean, it's Forbes. But anyway, so then today, Nintendo, in true Nintendo style, did a full-on video with, you know, effects and, you know, drama and Reggie meme material. Oh, yeah. Revealing that, indeed, Blizzard is bringing Diablo 3 to the Nintendo Switch. It's going to be coming out later this year. It is indeed called the Eternal Collection. It will feature the main game, Reaper of Souls expansion,
yes,
and Rise of the Necromancer expansion, as well as various updates that, of course, happened over the time, balancing and all that. And then, of course, then as a Nintendo exclusive, you'll be able to get a Ganondorf armor set, a Triforce portrait frame, and a Cuckoo as a pet.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is a big deal. I mean, we've talked about it before, and we're going to talk some of it a little bit in a bit, but Blizzard on the Switch has been a big ask, and we've been pondering what would be the first game. There was a lot of rumors about Overwatch. Some people thought StarCraft, and then I know I've at least said Diablo would be the easiest because of its more simplistic RPG nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, I personally will not get this game. That being said, I can appreciate that Blizzard is finally supporting a Nintendo console again. Because I'm not lying, the last time they supported the Nintendo console was the original StarCraft on the N64. So think about that.
That and yeah, the only one other game I can remember is back on the SNES, the Viking game. Yeah.
Lost Vikings, yep.
Yeah.
I kept reading there was a game 15 years ago, which would be a GameCube era, but I can't think of anything besides the StarCraft.
No, it's 18. I saw it on the way over, so.
Okay. Yeah, I believe you. I don't know why people would put 15, but.
Yeah, maybe they just have the dates wrong. It happens. It's the internet. I mean, seriously, I've seen so... One of my jobs is to write scripts for YouTube channels, and I've seen so many times where the dates and the facts are wrong. It's just like, which one do I believe? I mean, who am I supposed to believe here? Anyway, but back on track. So what do you guys think about this, that we're finally getting a Blizzard game on Switch, and it's Diablo?
Honestly, like, I've seen the gameplays of Diablo. I believe even my brother has played it on his spare time as well. Like, Diablo 3 is, again, even though it's like a very old game, but coming on Nintendo console, it's pretty decently big. Like, if you know about Diablo, and of course, like, this is Blizzard we're talking about here. Like, if you want, like, something that's really cinematic, you want the great CG cutscenes they are known for. And of course, like, the world of Diablo is, I mean, again, it's Diablo, the angels, all that. And plus, again, you get to fight Death, you get to fight the Reaper of Souls. It's, like... Okay, I'm happy. Like, Blizzard's finally having some reputation on the Nintendo Switch to bring it on the go. And plus, we get to have the skin of Ganondorf, which, I don't know, looking at that skin, it looks pretty neat. You actually can cosplay as Ganondorf. And plus, with a cuckoo pet. Nice little tidbits for the Nintendo exclusive. But the one thing I'm kind of all very, like, impressed, like, they said, like, you can have four players play on a single Switch. If you notice on the trailer they release, another player can jump, come in with you and play on a single Switch. So I'm getting very reminiscent of, like, memories of the game called of Gauntlet. Basically four player, like,
oh,
Dungeons
my
Dragon
gosh
style.
Gauntlet, I loved Gauntlet. Gauntlet Legends.
Yeah, so like, I'm getting reminded of that. So yeah, overall it seems pretty good, but I'm just wondering we're going to how they're going to incorporate the Nintendo Online service, which coming out later in September. That's what I'm worrying about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm actually really excited for this, so I think I'm going to pick it up. My roommates are both huge Blizzard fans, so I gotten introduced to the world of Warcraft through them recently, and I'm curious to see what Diablo's world is like.
But yeah, and it's just, again, of all the Blizzard titles that they could do, again, Diablo is easily the one that they could do. Porting wise, the easiest, and in fact, Tyler told me before the show started that it only took them 9 months to make this game, so that's pretty good. And because of its, you know, style as an action RPG, there's not a lot of graphical impressiveness that you need outside of, you know, the cutscenes, which based on the trailer we saw was actually pretty good. So yeah, I and according to this, a team of eight or nine people collaborated with Iron Galaxy, who made the Skyrim port.
Ah.
And yeah, they said it took only 9 months, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Very impressive. It's definitely impressive to see, like, if you have like a very PC intensive setup on for Diablo 3, like, it will definitely look very pretty on a PC. So the fact that like managed to port it down to the Switch, which at most can run the Unreal Engine 4, and still looks pretty decent. Looking at the trailer is like, okay, I'm impressed. They managed to, like, I don't mind graphic a downgrade, but as long as it runs good, I'm a happy camper.
We'll see. Again, there's no release date for it just yet outside of it's coming this year. But, we'll get more details as time goes on. Now, obviously, with the announcement of Diablo 3, the Eternal Collection, first of all, isn't that just a good name? Because it sounds like more mystical than it actually is.
The Eternal Collection.
I mean, what does it really mean? I mean, seriously, but I mean, it sounds Diablo-ish.
You know? Well, to be fair,
the Eternal Collection.
To be fair, Diablo 3 is pretty much a game you pretty much can play on Fargar, even if you hit the level cap, because the two expansion packs with Reaper of Souls and Rise of the Necromancer, you could still basically go through like the game over again with different job classes, like Demon Hunter or the Bat Warrior Monk.
And of course, the difficulty levels. So.
The Infernal difficulty. Oh boy, yeah.
Anyway, so moving on. Naturally, with Diablo 3 being announced, the big question is, will Blizzard be putting more games on the Switch? And the biggest one, as we talked about numerous times on this podcast, is Overwatch. Because a lot of Blizzard people, gamers I should say, want Overwatch on the Switch because they want to have the portability, they want to have the freedom to move around and not be rooted at their computer or their console. And Blizzard has been teasing, rumoring, and denying, at times that Overwatch is coming to the Switch. And so today, an interview went out saying with one of the heads of the Diablo team, and they said that, right, it's two different teams, the Diablo team isn't part of the Overwatch team, and if we're only worried about Diablo right now, and blah, 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 and hey, if they get the call, that's on them to make the game, et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes, when they ask, could Overwatch work on the Switch, he goes, yeah, that's feasible. It's feasible, guys. Yeah! Feasible! I'll take it! I bet you guys can't even spell feasible.
Yeah, I can, first of all. Second of all, I think that it is going to come. I'm pretty sure that it will arrive on Switch sometime. I think early next year is reasonable.
I agree, 2019.
I just don't think he would have said it's feasible if he didn't basically mean it's gonna come, because it seems like it'd be a good fit, especially with Paladins already running. I mean, it'll work, and I'm excited for it. Hopefully it does come.
I would argue against that point of yours, like, he wouldn't say feasible if it couldn't work. I mean, much like Diablo, if you think about it, Overwatch really isn't graphically taxing. The question isn't the graphics, it's the connection and the internet and all that, and between Paladins, which is a great example, and Fortnite, which has 100 people, the Switch has now proven that it can handle games like this. So, I'm sure they've looked at it. Jeff Kaplan, who's the creative director of Overwatch, has said, hey, we've looked at bringing it over. It's just, will they do it? So, I don't know. And I agree. I think it could happen. I think it will happen. I would say early to mid to 2019, just depends on when they start it, because if it took 9 months for Diablo 3 and if they do 9 months for Overwatch, it depends on when they start it. So
I have my theory that I think they're probably gonna do something in the third anniversary of Overwatch. It feels like, now as we are we just passed the second year of Overwatch, we're in the summer games for the current versions of Overwatch for PC, PS4, and so forth. So to see them like I would mind definitely to see them bring Overwatch to the Switch, because it definitely has that potential to really boost it. I mean, sure, we have Fortnite, all that games, all so forth, but to bring something of caliber like Overwatch to Nintendo Switch is again, naturally sacrifices have to be made, but again, we have seen ports that have been great, such as Doom and so forth. So I have an inkling that they're gonna do something on the third anniversary of Overwatch, and I have a feeling they probably will be announcing something or even details of probably perhaps Overwatch for Switch. I have a feeling.
You got a feeling? Are you hooked on a feeling?
Hey, I'm not Roadhog.
Dude, that was just wrong, dude. I was like, I was thinking a music reference, a classic movie music reference. Do you go to Roadhog? Really?
Hello, when you say the hook, I get instantly think of Roadhog, and
hooked
he still gives me nightmares.
Feeling. Hooked on a Ooga Chugga, dang it. Ooga Chugga!
Hello, his freaking hook is already scary. Have you been on the receiving end of a Roadhog hook? Oh my god.
And muting well. Moving on. So the other big news that came not from Blizzard, but from Bethesda. What's it with the B-word developers today? Bethesda revealed that Doom Eternal is coming to the Nintendo Switch, which is big news. But even bigger than that, at present, and obviously this could get delayed, but at present, it will get a simultaneous release when it comes out on all consoles. So you will not have to wait 6 to 8 months to get the Switch version. It'll be there potentially same day.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Tyler, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, no, that's really huge. I mean, that's kind of been the issue, I think, with a lot of the Bethesda ports. I mean, Doom apparently did perform pretty well, but Wolfenstein didn't crack the top 20 in the month that it launched, which had to be somewhat disappointing. But it's because those games have, you know, they've come out so much later on the Switch than other platforms. I thought when you saw that when they officially tweeted the announcement, if you look at the replies, a lot of people are like, Switch, palpable excitement for this. And having it day and date is, I mean, that's critical and just a great precedent for future third-party support.
Yeah. You were the one who... I found out because of you, Tyler, because I was just going through Twitter and I didn't know about the gameplay reveal and everything. And then you're like, oh my gosh, it's dated for Switch. I'm like, wait, what? Is this confirmed? And then I saw it, like, yeah, it's coming to Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC. I'm like, oh, snap. And then I was like, well, okay, well, wait a minute. Come on, let's be honest here. It's probably going to be delayed 5 to 6 months. And no, it's going to be same-day release. And furthermore, it's going to be made by Panic Button, who was the team who did Doom and Wolfenstein ports for the Switch. So they know the Switch. They love the Switch. And they're going to be bringing it over. Now, this game will have some sacrifices. They said that it will only be 30 frames per second, but they noted that, you know, that didn't really affect the gameplay of the first title, and I'm like, I'm with you. I mean, like, 30 frames, 60 frames, you know, it's whatever, as long as it feels good. So, but yeah,
well,
this is
the original, you know, the Doom 2016 on Switch looked pretty good. I mean, I especially in handheld mode, I thought it looked sharp on the Switch's screen, despite not running at 60. So
yeah,
I'm expecting the same kind of visual appeal for Doom Eternal,
if not better.
Yeah,
because now they have more time to work on it. They know the Switch inside and out now after all these games they've put on it. So, yeah, it's great news. I mean, this is another big third-party title. And if this one, I mean, all the other ones, you know, with the exception of Wolfenstein, you know, those games are old. Doom, Skyrim, even Rocket League, you know.
I know that's not
Bethesda, but it was all in the same month. So if they get, you know, Doom Eternal to sell well on the Switch, which it could easily do now that it's going to be potentially same day release, it's going to be huge. And I think this could lead to a whole new wave of things. Not, no, we're not getting Elder Scrolls 6, although it would be cool, but I highly doubt it. But, you know, we're getting Elder Scrolls Legends. That's something, right? Right?
Yeah.
Cricket. I also want to note that this is interesting that they announced it like this, because this was not announced at E3.
I kind of
wonder why they did it like that, but hey, it was their call. Maybe they didn't know it would be same day release. Maybe they were waiting for word on Panic Button.
They never clarified for all devices. Like, they didn't say it's definitely coming to PS4 or Xbox One either, if memory serves.
Oh, they didn't? Oh,
yeah, they were just like, it's coming, and we're going to leave you in suspense on where it's coming.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. And it's good, also good, because Bethesda noted that when it was in the same day release article, that they're treating the Switch as a first class citizen now. So, I understand their feelings. It's like a lot of third party developers had to, you know, test out the Switch, test the wires. And again, much like Blizzard, Bethesda has not been on a Nintendo console in a very long time, if at all, actually. I'd have to think about that. But, you know, they needed to know. And so that's why they put Doom and Skyrim and, you know, Wolfenstein on there, and varying levels of success, obviously. But now they feel that, hey, this is a platform we really need to develop for, so call Panic Button, let's get Eternal on there. Holla! I'll take it.
So. Yeah, you know what would be really interesting is if we could get a Bethesda, like, bundle of, like, Switch games. That'd be really cool. I know it would never happen, but it'd be cool.
I could see it. You know, you never know. You never know. All these bundles that are coming out, you never know. So, all right, more third-party developer news. Praise the sun, heathens! Praise it! We finally have a release date for Dark Souls Remastered after its delay in May. It's coming out on October 19th, including the amiibo with, what was his name? Celia del Sol or something?
Yeah, yep. Solaire.
Solaire, praise the sun. So yeah, that we are finally getting this game. This is one that definitely suffered from not being a same day released, but I still expect, you know, a lot of Switch players to get it, but it's just glad that we got a release date now.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab it. I mean, I'm very curious to see what the reviews say for it, because they must have been having some sort of technical issue, and if it's not technically sound for a game like that, that would probably ruin the experience. But assuming that it does run well, I'm excited to finally have a release day for it.
Well, granted, yeah, Dark Souls is the first Dark Souls that has been out for, like, man, so long ago already now. Wow. So I imagine, like, the delay was meant for, again, like, system bugs, all that, performance issues. I assume that's basically what they're ironing out. So now they announced a firm release date. I feel like they are comfortable regarding to their product. Hopefully. So, like, for in regards to, like, performance issues, like, again, Dark Souls is already, like, a very good, pretty game. I mean, I can only imagine what our boss Keith loves, as he loves Dark Souls and all that. So to see it, like, run on Switch, again, I want to see how it plays on Switch. I mean, heck, did they say it was going to be, like, an online stress test, which we haven't experienced yet? Yeah,
well, it's coming out in October, so you probably expect it in September.
All right. So, yeah, like, we'll probably get our full impressions then, like, once we tried out that online stress test. We'll see.
So, but yeah, again, it's a big thing. And again, it's just another big third-party game for Switch coming out later in the year. And so now we have, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ in September. We have Dark Souls Remastered in the World Ends With You Final Remix in October. Diablo 3 somewhere else in that line. Okami is later this month. Right, so, you know, that'll be kicking it off. So, and then
Okami's out, actually.
It is?
Yep.
Yeah, last I checked. Yeah, I
think it came out
the
13th or 14th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was like the 26th or something. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm not getting it. So, oh, speaking of Capcom, where's my Phoenix Wright game? We said, like, this year, like, November, we've heard nothing. I demand Phoenix Wright. Oh, but that's not what we. Objection! Objection!
Mm hmm.
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. I thought about it today. I'm like, wait a minute, we were supposed to get a Phoenix Wright game this year, and it's not here! Where the heck is my freaking Phoenix Wright game? So mad. Anyway, so if that comes out, that'll be another big one, and, you know, who knows what else is coming out. We got time, obviously, to find out, and Nintendo could still drop a, you know, bombshell or two or whatnot, so we'll see. Alright, moving on, let's go with a actual first party game for a little while. Splatoon 2. Now, this is an interview I found recently, but it apparently was published a while ago, but it was, like, not translated or something. I don't know what happened, but basically the one of the producers of Splatoon 2 noted the following. He said, that's a good point to mention. We actually don't decide the themes for all of our Splatfests ahead of time, but rather we keep a running look at what the community would enjoy and try to make those decisions about Splatfest themes on a real-time basis as we go forward. And so for the last Splatfest for Splatoon 2, we'd like to continue watching what the community might enjoy most and keep an eye on what that as we approach that time. And we still have some time left. So they don't know what the final Splatfest is going to be for Splatoon 2. Now, the obvious one is Pearl versus Marina, or the Squid Sisters versus Off the Hook, or something like that, but you never know.
It just And like screams to me, like they're just throwing darts, they're just winging it. Like, what are the kids into these days? Like, oh, okay, so we go with, yeah, the last thing we just had was, okay, what was the last Splatfest? Is we're going to,
Inklings versus Octolings, which I do
oh,
believe you
yeah,
lost.
the... don't
Isn't
remind me.
that right, Tyler?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
Yes.
right.
Anywho, regarding to the topics, like regarding like how they're like more or less developing the like the topics for these Splatfests is like hearing this, like to know that they're just basically like going with the flow of like current situations, like okay, I don't mind like if they're just like winging it, throwing darts at it to see like what are the kids interested these days, like what they
What are the
really be
kids
liking.
interested in these days? You know what I've heard? They're really interested in what came first, the chicken or the egg. Let's
No,
make
no.
that the splash because all the kids are
Tyler, that is so 4 months ago. You know what they're really interested in? Toilet side paper side up or toilet paper side down? These are the questions that matter in our lives.
And again, we're going to like adventure. Do you want to go to an adventure? Or do you want to go relax? That's currently happening in the UK region right now. It's definitely interesting to like see like if they got gonna make other like a very hit topic like with like a collaboration with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or with like I don't know with Pokemon or with Autobots versus Decepticons back in Splatoon 1. It's definitely interesting to see how they come up with these. I want to know what their thought process of making up these Splatfest topics. Like eventually I would definitely love to see like the eventual Pearl versus Marina Splatfest, no doubt about that. See like finally we'll see that and perhaps we'll get the hint that we'll be getting it in the natural Splatoon 3 maybe.
Maybe.
But it's definitely I just want to know what the heck they're doing to come up with these Splatfests. Like are they just like okay I'm going through the internet, what would they be interested in, like okay do they want to have chicken or the egg or do they want chocolate or candy? I don't know, it's just like what are they
Or love or
thinking,
money,
that's all.
right, Tyler?
Oh yeah. That one was, if we all recall, that one was a little questionable, the results of
No, it
that.
wasn't.
It was a
Dear
little shady.
God,
There was
let
a
it
lot of
go.
shade. There was a lot of questions, and after I launched an investigation, I
Oh,
got to the bottom of it. They changed the way the Splatfests
gosh.
ran in
Gosh.
order to make them, more visible. That's I
Oh, wait a
was.
minute.
You're
I
welcome.
got a telegram from the Beatles. You can't buy me love.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's great, but I can do. I can earn society fair and just Splatfest. That's what I can do.
Okay, we're gonna move on. This is just getting stupid. But I don't know if I mean, I'm sure I don't know if I fully agree with this, just because as we have now joked about, some of these Splatfests are so weird that it's just like, really? Why do we do kids really care about what's worse, ugly sweaters or ugly socks? No, I don't think so. I've honestly never gotten an ugly sweater in my life. Okay, that's a lie. I have, but not like ugly Christmas sweaters. That's an entirely different thing. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some of them, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing, that had to be a collaboration. That wasn't so much.
Yes, that was good.
Because
That was
if
good.
they really listen to the fans, they know that a lot of them aren't excited for that show. Okay? So, yeah, but I don't know. I'm sure they have some of them planned out, and then other ones they definitely do the throwing the darts at the board to see what sticks. And hey, whatever works for them. They've done some fun ones, they've done some odd ones, and then they did toilet paper up or toilet paper down.
Yeah,
Bur
right.
burning, burning questions, gentlemen. Burning questions. So, all right, sticking with the first party. As we have noted many times on the podcast, the one of the backbones of the Switch in many ways is the ports. But not just ports of third-party games, ports of first-party games. And they've been bringing over a lot of Wii U games to the Switch with, pretty decent success rates from, Mario Kart Deluxe, which is the second best-selling game on the Switch. Pokken Tournament did 1 million. Hyrule Warriors Legends, I think. Divinity Edition did pretty close to 1 million, I think. And of course, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze over 1 million in a few weeks. So, they're doing pretty good, and the rumors are saying that the next major Wii U port is going to be Super Mario Bros. U, which was the launch title for the Wii U back in 2012, 14,
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
12.
around that time.
12, 12, yeah, it was 12, it was 5 years. So, personally, I think this is an odd choice because I think there's so many more better, absolutely better Mario games to port over. Like, I don't know, Thousand Year Door, anybody? And you know, there's so much more that could be done. Or how about, you know, Super Mario 3D World? You know, like that was a good game.
That was a much better game.
That was definitely the better game. But I had to even raise you up. Like, just port Super Mario Maker. We could just make our own levels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's really the thing. I mean, New Super Mario Bros. U was actually a really great game, and New Super Luigi U was fun too. And the rumor says that they'll be bundled together.
That would be good.
But. You couldn't get a less exciting announcement. There could not possibly be. Okay, maybe there could possibly be.
There
but it's
could,
hard to have
could.
A less exciting announcement than that. I mean, it was a good game, but definitely nothing that really stands out as particularly special. I mean, it's a new Super Mario Bros. Game. You know you're what you're getting good level design, but this might be a game that I would pass on, which is rare for a Mario game, but it just. Give us Mario Maker 2. Give us some new tools, and that's the best 2D Mario. I mean, that would be something new and something exciting for people to get their hands on. I wouldn't be surprised if they released this. I'm sure it would sell well. I mean, it's like you said, the ports have performed well, and you know, a Mario game never hurt. But
We've all had bad Mario games.
Well, Mario game never hurt sales is what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, you know, them adding this to their holiday lineup definitely helps Nintendo make some money, but I would be disappointed if they went in that direction instead of a Mario Maker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Mario is one of those franchises where, you know, he's so diverse in terms of the style. I mean, we got the sports games, we got the Mario parties, we got Kart, obviously, and then we got the 2D Marios and 3D Marios, in terms of perspective, I mean. And, you know, that's all fine, but, you know, I'd rather have, a new 2D Mario game instead of, you know, a port of the launch title, which failed to launch the Wii U. Because that's the thing. Everyone remembers the Wii U launch because it was bad, and one of the reasons it was bad is because it had a very average Mario game as its launch title alongside Nintendo Land. And Nintendo Land was more fun than that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm,
it was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's just like
Nintendo Land was more fun than New Super Mario U.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Did you guys play that game?
Yes.
I love that game.
If I didn't play it, Tyler?
No, I'm saying, did you play New Super Mario Bros. U?
Yes, it was one. It came with the bundle I got.
New Super Mario Bros. U is a really good game. I feel like that's an insult to New Super Mario Bros. U.
It was
Nintendo
average.
Land was fine.
It wasn't average.
Yeah. It was a New Super Mario Bros. Game. I think that was a case where Mario's name and the New Super brand had totally run its course, much like the really. It was a microcosm of the Wii U in general. I didn't think about that until just now, but that game was actually stupendously made. It's an unbelievably good 2D Mario game. I would say it's a top 5 2D Mario game.
Don't. No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It absolutely is.
No.
First of all.
No.
First of all, you're wrong.
No.
Second of all.
Egypt called, you're missed in the denial.
Really? Listen. You gotta go back and play that game again because it was the levels were super well made, the power ups were great, very good local co-op.
I'm not no
good gamepad.
When I say average, I fully acknowledge that it had. It's like you said, you know what you're getting with the 2D Marios, okay? It's amazing level design. You know, it's Bowser boss
fight.
You can't
just go, oh, it's amazing level design. No, like that, like amazing level design. That's amazing. That's great.
But
that's
great,
not something
that
can just be overlooked.
That doesn't, but if it, what did it really add anything new? Ooh, we have new mini Yoshis that inflate. Okay. Sure. But like, give me something new. It's like think about like the 3DS Mario games. Okay. As much as, you know, I loved Super Mario 3D Land. Now, that was a great one, all right? And then they were like, we could do just a basic Super Mario, a 2D Super Mario, but no, hey, let's do the Gold Rush thing. That was creative. I mean, whether it worked for you or didn't, I strongly disagree.
That was one of the worst 2D Mario games of all time. The Gold Rush game, the most boring gimmick of all time. That was stupid. The level design in that game was subpar, first of all.
Wow.
Second of all, for a Mario game, oh my gosh, they just had fields of coins. It was lame. That was one of the weakest 2D Mario games. New Super Mario Bros. U was awesome. The squirrel power-up was super sweet. You're right. It didn't
squirrels.
Add
up.
Yeah,
wow.
It was awesome. The flying squirrel power-up.
Squirrels. Nice.
Speaking of flying squirrels, I forgot to say, in what have you been playing? I've been playing Sonic Mania Plus with Ray the Flying Squirrel.
Ah.
Great. Great. All Sonic fans, if you have that, it's $5. Get it. Encore mode is worth it. Second of all, back to the topic at hand here.
Gosh.
I am offended that you would possibly say that, one, New Super Mario Bros. 2 is better than New Super Mario Bros. U.
I didn't say that. All I said was at least they tried to do something different.
But they failed. Whereas in U, they didn't add a whole lot new, but it was a perfection of the new Super formula. I mean, it's not as good as Super Mario Bros. 3 or New Super Mario World or Super Mario World, but it's better than any other 2D Mario game. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. No.
Also, Nintendo Land? Nintendo Land was like was fun to play for like a month, and then it was like with friends. You could only play it with friends, and after that it was like nothing. There was no reason to go back to it. The Luigi's Mansion game was fun, and the toad catching game was fun, and that was about it.
No.
No.
It's like, wait, I'm getting a premonition. It says you're wrong. Oh, and here's a newsflash for you, Tyler. New Super Mario Bros. 2, you know, the Gold Rush game?
Yeah.
Over 11 million copies sold.
I know, it's disgusting.
You're disgusting. You're disgusting! How dare you? You know, just for that, I'm going to look up New Super Mario Bros. U. I want to see where it is. Okay, so New Super... Yes, we're doing this live, ladies and gentlemen. New Super Mario Bros.
U. Yeah, well, one was on the Wii U, one was on the 3DS. Sales
but
don't
no, but if it was the superior game, Tyler, if it was the superior game, Tyler, it should have done... Oh, Tyler, didn't even do half.
Todd, you're going to cut into... You're going to damage any piece credibility with an argument like that. I'm sorry for him, beloved audience.
Oh, beloved audience.
Something's not right with him right now. Like, he's a logical person. I know he's better than this low comparison.
Oh, gosh. No, I'm willing to... If it was as good as it says... If you say it is, it should have done better, and it didn't. And I'm sorry.
No, because it's a... the great games. So many great games don't sell well. Earthbound didn't sell well.
That's true. Fire
Here's
Emblem.
The thing.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
No. Look,
please tell me what about Nintendo.
What it comes
then?
Down to is this. What did it mean to us? When I got the Wii U, and I was excited for the Wii U, it was another... I got it day one. You know, I had it pre-ordered and everything. I got it. Did I enjoy it? Yes. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I did like the level design. But when I got done with it, I was just like, what am I supposed to do now? And everything. Whereas when I got done with Odyssey, which to be fair, I did not go full 100% like Will, but I could have. I felt, you know, content. You know, bad boss fight at the end aside. I was content. I truly felt that I enjoyed this journey that I was on. And there was still so much I could do. But I just didn't feel that with Super Mario Bros. U. Now, if you liked it, Tyler, if you truly think it's top 5 game, good
no,
for you.
No, I think it's definitely a top 5 2D Mario game. I'm not saying it's a top 5 3D Mario. And I agree with you. I didn't feel super like, wow, this was a life-changing game after I played it. But in terms of game design, it was really, really good. And I feel like that can't be understated. But I'm also on the record saying I might not rebuy it, like you said, because it wasn't a super special game and I already have it on the Wii U. If they were to add, you know, new stages or new zones, then I would definitely buy it. But
without that,
it wasn't a groundbreaking game. However, it was a really well-made one.
We'll agree to disagree. All right.
You don't think it was a well-made game?
Again, it's a game where you know what you're getting, and sometimes that's enough. But for me, and for a lot of people, even though it sold over 5 million, which I honestly didn't think it sold that much, so I'll give it its props, it sold over 5 million copies on the Wii U, which literally means it has a 1 in 2 attach rate, if you really think about it. You know, I just felt that it was very safe. It was too safe.
Yes.
All right, but let's break it down to this. Percentage-wise, because this is just a rumor right now, percentage-wise, what percent do we feel that it'll be released and released like this year? What do we think?
I'd say 80%.
It's general, like, because again, Super Mario games ports, I feel like they're generally easy to port over to the Switch, so I feel like they are probably gonna push it for the holiday season. Even though like the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is on that same range, I feel like they're gonna probably also put it alongside with it as well.
Percentage, Will. Percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna give it like an 83%.
I give it a 40%. I don't put stock in rumors. I've fallen for them too many times before, man. It's a conspiracy, man. They tell
They're
us
just
about
so widely reported. It's so widely reported by credible sources that I feel like they must know something we don't.
Now the Diablo rumor, I totally bought that. You know, because when freaking Variety reports this crap, that means something. Okay, so tell me that Variety reported about this port, and I'll believe it. All right, so you call Variety, Tyler. You call Variety and say, can you get confirmation on this? All right, so moving on to our indie games portion of the show. Some games have been announced for the Switch to be coming later this year. Gone Home is coming to Switch, which is, if you don't know this game, what rock have you been living under? This is a very, you know, story title, you know, first person point click adventure of sorts. And I won't spoil it too much because it would honestly be spoilerish to talk about this word story too much. But it's a very well respected game, easily one of the best indie games of like what the last 10 years or so. So to get that on Switch, that's gonna be interesting. Mosaic was another game that got announced. The Messenger, which was in the Nindie showcase last time, that was pretty good. It switches from 8-bit to 16-bit, which I found really cool. So, you know, again, and there's been more announcements and everything. The Switch just continues to get a lot of game announcements, and that's really, really exciting. So, two more things. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate Demo out now. Thoughts, gentlemen, please.
I mean, I haven't touched a Monster Hunter game since the 3DS version of Monster Hunter 4, so
Ethan.
Going back into Monster Hunter again, like, okay, let's see if I got my old skills back in action. I mean, again, I would definitely like to play more, like, Monster Hunter World, but again, let's see how it runs on the Switch.
Yeah, we're never getting Monster Hunter World, that's just a fact.
Nah, but...
We're not!
Like, yeah.
It's too big.
I mean, again,
in this case, it really is too big, and they've worked on that game for years before even announcing it. That was before the Switch even came out. We're not getting World.
Right. Granted. I was just basically about to say it because my nephew is actually playing the Japanese version of Monster Hunter right now, and from what I've seen so far, looks good. So heck, more Monster Hunter, happy for us.
Yeah, I'm not a big I've never played a Monster Hunter game. But is Rathalos in this one?
Probably. I mean, it's Rathalos. I mean, isn't he like the Star Dragon or something?
Well, I don't know.
Definitely the popular monster.
Ignorant
in Monster
joke,
series.
Given that, you know, Smash and Rathalos, and that's all my experience of Monster Hunter.
Fine. But hey, we know he's in Smash. Hi-yo. But yeah, I've never been a Monster Hunter fan, and you know, I'm sure people will like it. Capcom needs to get off their sorry butts and give me Phoenix Wright. I mean, give us a true exclusive Monster Hunter title for the Switch. Yeah, that's totally what I meant. But hey, if you're playing it, let us know what you think. The when is that one coming out? The main game.
You know? I think November.
Yeah,
I'm
that sounds
not
right.
Sure.
So there's another big third party, you know, game coming out for Switch later this year. So yeah. All right, now this one was actually reported by me a little bit ago before the Smash Brothers Direct, and we just forgot to talk about it. Daemon X Machina. So if you recall, this was the game that kicked off the E3 conference for Nintendo, and then they didn't talk about it. And then they slowly started dropping little hints about it, and then literally right after the Nintendo Direct last week, they just slipped this onto their Twitter, like an 8-minute interview with one of the producers of the game, and they're like, here's a Daemon X Machina thing. I'm like, dang it, Nintendo, give it more views than that. So, but basically what the director talked about, he wouldn't go into spoilers, but he did hint that we could be seeing more GamesCon, so we'll keep our eyes open for that. But he talked about, you know, the story of the game, and including basically that this is our Earth, but the moon is gone. Of course, if the moon's not evil, it's gone. That's just how it works. But in the midst of the moon being destroyed, it released an energy source that corrupted an artificial intelligence. Of course it did.
Wait, was it destroyed by Dr. Eggman using the eclipse cannon? Because that would be a cool tie-in. I would be excited.
You never know. You know, when it comes to these mechs, you gotta go fast. Moving on. But, you know, so now we're trying to get this energy source while destroying an AI. Yeah, it's Japanese. What are you gonna do? But the true crux of this is the gameplay with the mechs, which are called Thanissos Arsenals. And it's really cool what you're gonna be able to do. You're gonna be able to attack in any direction, at any level you want. You can swap weapons on the fly. Like, seriously, you can literally pause the game, go into a menu, and then swap out your weapons like in a snap, and then go right back into battle. Or if you're facing an opponent and they have a really cool weapon and then you kill them, you can literally pick up their weapon and go use it like right off the bat. So and visually, this game is very stunning. I mean, the team, who is made up of many industry professionals, said they're trying to, you know, make this game as stylish looking as they possibly can. So this is going to be something special, and this is going to be exclusive to the Switch, coming out in 2019. And I hope it gets a little more attention instead of just, you know, being thrown every which way. So we'll have to see. Because this is clearly something special. This could be like their Xenoblade Chronicles X, which they kind of did a similar thing up until, you know, they started showing in Nintendo Directs. So I don't know if this is supposed to be like a slow burn technique, but hopefully we get some answers soon.
Yeah, the game looks pretty captivating visually. I mean, I know that's what they've said they're going for. It definitely looks like almost like an action comic kind of style. I'm very intrigued by the little bits that I've seen of it. And I feel bad for it, because my first impression of it was, why are they showing this first at E3? Like, what is this? I have this heavy metal is not my type of music. I'm very confused as to what's going on right now. So I kind of got off on a bad foot with it, but everything I've seen since has been promising. So I'm eager to hear more as well.
It's definitely a potential. Yeah, definitely a potential kind of game. Like, from what I've seen so far, like, Daemon X Machina is basically going to be because the game is also developed by former people who did Armored Core, basically a great mecha fighter in the other systems. So, I can see this is definitely a genre that is very ripe for the picking for the Nintendo Switch, because, like, we don't really see a whole lot of home mechas or even, like, Gundams, not even, like, a licensed Gundam back from Bandai Namco from them since. So, like, for them to, like, go really, like, front being the pioneer in this field to bring, like, a mecha game into the Nintendo Switch, it's definitely, again, it's like, sure, it's definitely a first time for it, but it definitely also has that same potential. If you love your mechas, if you love, like, guns, your arsenals, like, again, if, like, big giant robots like Guillermo del Toro, then, heck, I think this is the title definitely to look out for. So, again, if you love your big mechs.
Yeah, again, hopefully when in the next diverse, there you go, Nintendo Direct comes out, they'll hopefully drop more. And again, the guy hinted that GamesCon might be, you know, a place where they do more. So, hey, here's hoping. All right, and with that, we're going to go to our main event of the night. We're going to talk about Smash Brothers! Yeah, baby! So, there's like so many Smash Brothers topics you could still talk about, but Tyler brought up a good one. There's been a rumor going around about the special hidden mode that Sakurai was teasing, and there's a lot of theories going around about what it could be, what it might not be, you know, and everything in between. So we are going to reveal our thoughts in a meeting of the NEP Secret Society. So, Tyler, I want you to take this off because...
No, I want to go last because my idea is crazy.
Okay,
but
fine.
I will introduce the topic.
Yes, but introduce it, and then we'll go into it.
All right. So, you know, Andros Alex touched on this last week a little bit, where he said that he believes that the cutscenes that we've seen, the Mario cutscene and getting destroyed by Ridley, and the Luigi cutscene where he gets got by Death in Dracula's Castle, he thinks that they're part of the actual game as a part of this story adventure mode. Now, keen-eyed Twitter, Redditors, all the, you know, keen-eyed Smash fans, let's call them, looked at the pixelated image that Sakurai posted and deduced that the text was spirits and that the symbol above it was a spirit-like looking symbol that actually looks a whole lot like the Shadow the Hedgehog symbol. You're just saying. But unrelated. But so people are trying to figure out, you know, are the deaths in these cutscenes related to the story mode in Smash? Personally, I don't think so. I think that that's a big stretch, given that we've only seen two cutscenes in which, you know, characters die. Mario and Mega Man, I have a hard time thinking they actually died. Luigi, we did see him die. But anyway.
Not confirmed. That's not canon.
Right. Luigi is fine. He's totally fine. I mean, he's at the end, his spirit's descending back into his body. Let's not act like that wasn't them saying he's going to reanimate, like he's not dead. His spirit was just going to wake him back up. Anyway, people overlook that. But the mode seems to be called Spirits, and I want to ask you guys first what you think this could entail. Do you think it's a single-player mode? Do you think it's a, like, not Smash Run style mode, but an off-the-wall mode like Smash Run was? What do you think?
It feels like definitely really off the wall, if anything else, because I'm just seeing all these, like, yeah, pot, like, pending stages, especially going to that whole monster stage. Like, it seems really to the point that this is going to be something of a single player, something single player. I don't think it's going to be something like Smash on what, like, given what Sakurai's track record, but, like, just to see. Like, this is really pointing out to be, like, something that's of single player, because, again, if you're facing Rathalos by your own, like, as I said, it's a boss character, and then we have a Dracula, also a boss character. Like, are we gonna do something similar of a boss rush a la Capcom? So I don't know, it really definitely seems to point that way. I can't help but, like, can't shake out this feeling that this is something of a single-player mode. Is it gonna have, like, something story, like a Subspace Emissary of that sort? There is that theme that, again, all these characters, quote-unquote, dying, but, like, I don't know, it's just that there is that sense, there is hinting something. It's just, I just can't put my finger on it.
There's a lot of ways to interpret the spirit. And, you know, there's so many theories about, like, I even heard one where we're, like, trying to go find Luigi's soul, and I'm like, well, I appreciate that. That means that, you know, Luigi's not going to be in the mode, so that doesn't seem like very ultimate or whatever. I do agree that if it's going to be a single player mode, I mean, I think that's something Smash Brothers players want. You know, and notice we've not gotten confirmation of All Star Mode. Okay, we have not heard of All Star Mode being back in this game, so it could be a variation on that where you're having to, you know, fight all the characters, or maybe fight all the bosses, or some combination of the two.
But why would it be called Spirits?
Well, here's my thought. I think, and this is just, again, my own personal idea. What if you had to choose, let's say, two characters? Okay, you choose, kind of like Subspace Emissary. You choose two characters, and then you start to go on a journey with them, like, you know, cutscene style. Like, I don't know how they do it and everything. It might be very difficult, but, you know, it's Sakurai. He's worked miracles before. And the spirits of all the other fighters have been captured except for your two fighters. So you have to go throughout the world and fight bosses, and every time you do, you get the spirits of these characters and get to bring them back to life. And then by the end, you'll have, like, a massive boss battle like they did with Taboo, who I still think is one of the coolest bosses ever. And then, you know, you'll have to use, like, the combined power of all of this ultimate group of characters, you know, to defeat him or something like that. So that's just my loose idea. I just think it's going to be something like Subspace Emissary, where we have to collect the spirits of these characters to restore their life force or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I could definitely see that. I feel like that's what a lot of people are expecting. It could potentially be tied into the unlocking all the characters, which sounds similar to what you're saying, that you could unlock, because as we know, we're only starting with the original 8 or 12 characters. I'm not sure if
right.
Smash 60 or Smash 64's unlockables or starters.
I think, based on how Sakurai said it, I think it's the entire 64 roster.
I do too, but when you see people cut them online, they keep putting up 8 characters, so I thought maybe I misinterpreted, but no, I think you're right. I think it's the original 12. And so maybe the Spirits mode is related to unlocking all of those characters like that. But what if I told you that it's not a single player mode? Because as we all know, Smash Bros.'s menus are, like, the only game series weakness. The menus making no sense. And in Smash Wii U, they had Smash and they had Games and More, and all the single player content was in Games and More. So there could be a single player mode, but it might be in Games and More. Now listen, this is insane, but Smash Spirits. When you think of spirits, I think of, like ancestors, like the past. I think Smash Bros. Ultimate, the ultimate Smash Bros. Smash Bros. Spirits is a collection of the old Smash Bros. Games that you can play on the Nintendo Switch. You can play Smash 64. You can play Smash Melee. You can play Smash Brawl. Maybe not Smash 4 because it might be too big, but you could probably fit those three games into that mode and have it truly be Smash Ultimate, where you can play all the old Smash Bros. How cool would that be?
That would be cool. I will not lie. That would be something. I don't know if that's possible though. I mean, definitely Smash 64. Definitely Melee. Brawl, that could be a stretch, and definitely not Smash 4. There was way too much in there.
Yeah, well, but Smash 4 might be a stretch. This is why it's probably not true. But Smash Ultimate Spirits. I don't think that it has anything to do with the characters dying. I feel like that is so overdone, and like the internet has run away with that. But like, let's not act like Luigi actually died. Like, his spirit was coming back into his body, and in Nintendo world, that means he was just going to wake up and be fine. That was, and then the ghost spooked him and he ran away. Luigi's actually okay. Like that, he's totally fine.
Yeah,
and
Mario Nintendo
didn't
confirmed
actually
he's
get
alive.
Murdered. Right, Mario didn't actually get murdered by Ridley. Like that also didn't happen. it was just a creepy, like cool little trailer to introduce the game. There's no way that the theme of death is going to be the theme of Smash Ultimate. I mean, I feel that is almost ludicrous how far people have taken it at this point. I would believe that my theory that old Smash games will be playable within Smash Ultimate is more likely to happen than it to be a save the spirits of the dead characters. Like that would be not Nintendo like, not Smash like, definitely too adult for this audience. But that is my insane theory. That's definitely not true. But if it is true, I'm gonna freak out, and I expect all of you to parade me with gifts for my wisdom.
Dude, you still owe me $20 from Doom last
year. I do owe
you
$20, but how can I send you that?
We'll figure it out.
PayPal?
Yeah, that's kind of how I sent it to you the first time, so.
Yeah, but I don't have any money in my PayPal.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back on top.
Yeah. Now, I like the idea, and you're right. Something about, like, the way I describe it and how the internet's running away with it. Yeah, it does sound a little basic, and if we could all agree on one thing, Sakurai is not basic. It's not a basic
No.
Either goes for it or it doesn't, just like you do with Subspace Emissary. That mode wasn't basic. I mean, gameplay-wise, I guess it was a little basic, but I mean, the bosses, the cutscenes, the overarching story, now, that wasn't basic at all. Alright, so, I mean, that one had black hole deaths, alright? That was confirmed. Black hole deaths, right? So, or subspace deaths, whatever.
Right.
So, but, you know, I still think it's going to be a single player, there we go, single player mode. All the wrong words of first. I think I still think it's going to be single player mode, just maybe, you know, a more extravagant one, you know, maybe something, you know, maybe a little deeper, might be a little darker. I don't know. It's technically like E10. They could push it to teen and still get away with murder. So, or sorry, off screen silhouetted
but
murder.
But Nintendo wouldn't do that. Like Nintendo doesn't want to kill like Link on camera.
Subspace Emissary. They killed and wiped out entire parts of the world.
Right.
No, they turned them into trophies.
In the game, the bombs were subspace bombs,
right,
which meant if you were caught in them, you were dead. Now, yes,
no,
none of
you
the Smash. Now, hold on. None of the Smash Bros. Characters got in. However, all of the Rob robots that weren't Rob Pure got caught in them because they were controlled by Taboo, right? So all of those robots that Rob was trying to save died because they got caught in the subspace bomb.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm not even fully ready to say that, because look what happened to everybody else who got sucked into subspace stuff. They were just hanging out in subspace land. So maybe they did get killed, but I feel like they probably were just actually chilling in subspace world.
And let's
but
not forget
especially
Taboo
with the
died.
Nintendo characters, they all just turn into trophies and then they're fine. Like
that was different.
Yeah, so. But I mean, I think that that's really what they'd be protective of. I don't think that they would have a spirits mode based on, you know, Marth is dead, you have to go bring him back to life, or, you know, Fox was dead, and we have to go say like bring Fox back to life.
Well, I mean,
like,
there's different ways of interpreting it. I mean, there's some places that say that the soul is like, you know, your true life force, and you're not dead, but you're like in stasis. You know,
but listen to that conversation. Like, Nintendo would not even host that conversation for a flagship title like Smash. I mean, maybe for like Xenoblade or something like that, they would have, you know, those mature themes. But for
again,
Smash,
I don't
think so.
Subspace Emissary, they used Pikachu as a battery.
Yep.
But look at how it's depicted. It's not. It's like for like 2 seconds.
But he was being tortured. When Samus found him, he was being tortured. That was the whole point. She broke him out because he was being tortured to power the ship.
But you have to look at how they portrayed it. It was only on the screen for like a half second, and then he gets freed, and he's totally fine. Like, it wasn't a theme of Subspace. Was not Pikachu was being tormented. Samus, go save him. Like, yeah, you're right. It was weird. But I mean, a lot of Nintendo games have like little drops like that, you know, like stuff that so people can do what we're doing right now and dive in and go, man, that was so messed up. But
Master Hand. Master Hand literally had chains embedded in his
back of his hand.
What would you call that? His body? His skin? What would you call that?
he had chains
embedded into him, and then once he was finally free after Ganon figured it out of all people, you know, you could see the scars on his hand. Which just sounds weird when you think about it. And, you know, he rushes up to Taboo and gets blasted away. Like, that was pure torture. He was being literally chained to Taboo.
The way I'm basically seeing it is that...
But it's a floating giant hand.
Which had impacted scars.
The way I'm seeing it is basically, like, Nintendo is going a little similar to Disney route. Like, they are subtly putting dark themes in a supposedly child-friendly game, honestly. Because, like, you see these, like, moments, like... This is unexpectedly dark if you think about it thoroughly. I mean, sure, you can definitely view it as like, oh, it's just for one moment, okay with that. But heck, it doesn't change the fact that one property, Pikachu, is being tortured, or even the fact that that Master Hand was put into slavery. So,
I don't know.
I just don't see it. I feel like, no, I totally understand. Like, Brawl definitely was the darkest, like, Smash game. I mean, the music, you were just thinking about how dramatic the music was, but even then, I don't think that Nintendo, like, they never came close to, like, playing with, you know, Nintendo characters dying, and you having to free their souls from the dead, and, like, they just wouldn't even want that conversation, even being around the game. Like, the parents would think, oh, my kids aren't gonna be happy to see Mario, you know, lifeless body that we have to free, or, you know, they won't even show that, obviously, but just the concept of that would be, I would say, off limits. I feel that I believe it probably is called spirits because, you know, we have amazing technology that allows us to see through things. But I don't think that it would have to do with death on that level. Hence, my only thing that I could think of about that would be perhaps that it's the spirits of the old Smash games. It might not even be like you click it, it's like a ROM of the games, but perhaps you could turn on like Smash 64 physics in, because we've had so many customizable options in Smash Ultimate through that mode. Or, you know, you could turn on melee physics, so people who love wave dashing and all that can have that in this game. Again, I feel like
they could go Mario Maker and just like completely make over the game.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Now, this is a ludicrous theory. I admit that it's ludicrous, but it would be so cool if it happened. It would be so cool.
It would truly be a true ultimate culmination. So I will not deny. But I still know. I mean, that's a lot of. I mean, to make sure that it felt like the old games while not, you know, infringing upon what Ultimate is doing, that would be tough. And again, the memory would be the biggest thing for me. I don't know if they could do that.
Yeah, definitely they could definitely put in they have the arcade classics or the whatever it was in Brawl, the arcade archives you could play like 5 minutes of each game of some old games. I'm sure that they could get Smash 64 in Smash Ultimate as like a ROM without a doubt. That's doable.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure Sakurai will hold, you know, massive part of the next 25-minute Nintendo Smash Brothers Direct to talk about whatever this mode is. But clearly he's got big plans for it, or he wouldn't even have had to tease it. Okay, because if he didn't have big plans, he wouldn't have shown it at all. And it's like, oh, look, by the way, here's another mode. Or he would have done it in the other modes section of it all. So we'll find out. Just time is ticking ever closer to the arrival of Ultimate.
Yeah, just only a like a little, yeah, let's see, we're in August
four
right
months.
Now, so yeah.
Four months.
Yep.
Alright, so, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, so our poll question was, which character had the best Smash Bros. Ultimate trailer? And Mega Man got 14%, King K. Rool got 72%, Palutena 7%, and Little Mac 7%. I think that recency bias played a big deal on that, although the King K. Rool trailer was phenomenal. So, also, people probably just listened to my argument for it, and they were just like, man, great argument.
It was a great trailer, and B, it was the one that stuck out most in their mind. So they probably didn't even try and remember the other trailers because that was from the last game. So.
I thought I was going to do Will a favor when I posted the Palutena GIF, but apparently not.
No. Now you know it. Only her goddessness only goes so far.
goddesshood, get it right.
Whatever, Will. It's. All right. Okay. This week's poll question. Let's keep the spirits argument going. I think that's really good. So, what do you think spirits mode in hashtag Smash Bros. Ultimate will be? Will it be a new single player mode, an advanced version of Subspace Emissary, a special multiplayer mode, or Tyler's idea, be able to play all the other Smash Brothers games? Sound good, Tyler?
Sounds good.
All right. And so, of course, let us know what you think about all the other news we talked about today. Are you excited for Diablo 3 on Switch? Are you excited for Doom Eternal on Switch? Do you hope Overwatch will come to Switch? What about Super Mario Bros. U? Where does it rank on your best Mario games, best 2D Mario games, and how wrong is Tyler? Kidding. You know, what do you think about Demon X Machina? All the indie games are coming out. Did you play the Dragon Ball Z Fighters demo? What did you think of it? Did you have a better experience than us? Or are you playing the Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate demo? That's way too long of a name. And do you agree with me that Capcom needs to announce Phoenix Wright soon? And why am I right? So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.